A two-part series that we began last week that we're calling Life in the Spirit or Living in the Spirit. And so we'll get into that right now. Father, we thank you for your word right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher and our guide today. We thank you, Father, and we praise you. We trust him to reveal the word of God to our hearts today. And Father, we thank you and we praise you that, Lord, that we'll not just be hearers of the word. Father, we just make a decision right now in the name of Jesus that we will be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it because, Lord, we know that's when we are blessed is when we do the word, when we put it into practice. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you for it. And everyone that agreed said, amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going back to the book of Galatians again this morning. Galatians 3 and verse number 1. And Paul is writing to the Galatians and he starts out in maybe what some folks would think a bit of an offensive way. He says, oh, foolish Galatians. How would you like it if my first greeting to you this morning was, oh, you foolish people. So that wouldn't go too far, would it? He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit? Did they do what? Receive the Spirit. Hallelujah. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun, how? In the Spirit. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And so Paul is writing to the Galatians here, and he's reminding them that they had begun their Christian life in the Spirit. Amen. And you know what had happened? We explained this last week. These folks had come along, these false teachers had come along and said, you know, now the Galatians, they were Gentiles. They were not Jewish by heritage or by birth. They were Gentiles and they'd gotten saved. And these Jewish false teachers had come down after they'd heard that they had believed on Jesus. And they said, you know, that's great that you believed on Jesus and all that. And that you responded to Paul's message. But we need to inform you that for you to really be saved, you got to be circumcised and you got to keep the law. Because that's how it works. As they said, oh, okay, they didn't know any better. And so they submitted to that. And Paul got word of that. It came back to him and he said, oh, no, what? No, wait a minute. You guys, you started out in the Spirit and now you're trying to be made perfect by the flesh, by all these things in the Old Testament that were only pointing to the New Covenant. You're already in the New. And now you're trying to go back and live under the Old. And he said, you're being foolish for doing that. And so the Christian life is designed to be lived in the Spirit. We're to begin in the Spirit and we're to continue in the Spirit. Amen? And God, that was God's plan all along. Even in the Old Testament, he was working toward that. Look at what he says in Ezekiel chapter 36. Now, Ezekiel is specifically talking about the restoration of the Jews into the land of Israel, how God will restore the land, restore the people to the land, and which he's done over the last century or so, a little more than a century, last 120 years. We've seen all this happen. We've seen all this come to pass. Well, the next stage of this is not only going to restore the land and restore them to the land, but he's going to restore them spiritually. Ezekiel, but it applies to all of us. It's for every person. Here's what God says he'll do. Ezekiel 36, 26, he says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh or a tender heart. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. What is this talking about? It's talking about what we know as the new birth. It's talking about what we know as being born again. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take out that hard heart, the heart of stone. I'll give you a tender heart, a heart of flesh. I'm going to put my spirit within you. I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. So this is the new birth he's talking about. See, they'd been striving, the Jews, he's writing this to the Jews, and they'd been striving unsuccessfully to keep the law. And God says the problem is that you don't need to try harder to keep the law. The problem is you need a new nature. The problem is you can't keep the law with that old nature. I'm taking that heart out. I'm giving you a new heart. I'm giving you a new spirit. I'm putting my spirit within you. Amen. Hallelujah. And when my spirit comes in you, then you'll be able to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments. But that's the only way you can. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you see how foolish now the Galatians were and how Paul was right to say, you foolish Galatians? Because they'd already had that. They'd already experienced the new birth. And now they're going back trying to keep the law and do it and follow the old covenant, get circumcised and do all of that. No. And so he said, you're doing this backwards. You've already got the new. You don't need the old. Amen. In Jeremiah 31 and 33, Jeremiah prophesies about this. He says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Now, when God first gave his law, what was it written on? It was written on stone tablets, wasn't it? That he gave to Moses, right? All right. The law was first written on stone tablets that God gave to Moses. And then after that, the law was written and copied down on parchments, all right, for the people to read it, for the people to hear it. You know, the law would be read to the people, and they would like, okay, yeah, this is what we're supposed to do. They would hear it, they would read it, and they would try to do it, and they would strive to do it, they would attempt to do it, but they could never be successful in doing it. So God says, I've got a solution. Instead of writing my law on a stone tablet or on parchment, I'm going to do something in you. I'm going to put a new heart, a new spirit in you, and put my spirit in you. And I'm going to write my law on the inside of you, in your very heart, and in your very mind. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the work of the Spirit of God on our spirits. Now, the good news is this. He says here in Jeremiah, this is a covenant I'll make with the house of Israel. It's not just for the house of Israel, but it's for whosoever will now. Because this is quoted, this passage is quoted in the book of Hebrews, which is for us, which is in the new covenant. In Hebrews 10, verse 15, says this, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. And now he's about to quote what Jeremiah wrote here. But notice what he says. He doesn't say, Jeremiah said this. He says, the Holy Spirit witnesses this. Hallelujah. So what is he saying here? So this is another confirmation that the Bible is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not just something Jeremiah wrote. It's what the Holy Spirit says. Amen? Amen. And that's the whole book. The whole Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is God speaking to us. That's why we can say the Bible is God speaking to me. It's not just what Matthew wrote. Matthew was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not just what John wrote. John was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not just a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians. It's the Word of God to you and me, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is my covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. So again, this is for us. This is what God does for us in the new covenant. And so we're called to live and walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. In Galatians 5 and verse 25, in the New Living, it says this, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Can I say it to you another way that maybe will shed some light on it? Since we are living by the Spirit, let us yield to the Spirit's promptings in every part of our life. Don't miss that. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us yield to the Spirit's promptings. That's how we keep the law. That's how we follow God. That's how we obey God. Why? Because His Spirit lives in us now. He's written His law into our hearts and our minds. And so as we obey and yield to the Holy Spirit's promptings, then we will be fulfilling what God wants us to do. Amen? Praise God. And so we made this statement to you, I think, last week, that life in the Spirit is accessed by faith, and it's governed by one law. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, he that supplies the Spirit to you and he works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or does he do it by the hearing of faith? And what's the answer? The answer is the hearing of faith. Amen. He does it by... So we access this life in the Spirit by faith. We access it by believing. That's how we get into it. And this life in the Spirit is governed by one law, and that's the law of love. Amen. Galatians 5:13 says, for you, brethren, still writing to the Galatians here, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And so, life in the Spirit, we access it by faith, and it has one law that governs it, and that's the law of love. Because when we're walking in love, and how do we walk in love? We walk in love by following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When we yield to that love, when we let that love dominate us, and we have a choice. In every situation, we have a choice to make. We can let our flesh dominate us, and we can yield to our flesh. We can yield to our human reasoning. Well, they did me wrong, I'm going to do them wrong. That's human reasoning. Or we can yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and that will lead us into love. Amen? Praise God. All right. All right. So let's... And when we do this, let me say this. When we walk in faith and when we walk in love, we will avoid the extremes of legalism and carnality. On one side, when Paul says here... go back to verse 13 for a sec, Galatians 5:13 there, Kim. You've been called to liberty. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So in Christ we can say, well, we've got liberty, and so we get out of balance on that, and on one side we've got carnality, just letting our flesh dominate us. On the other side of that is legalism. It's flesh either way. Legalism is you trying to do in your flesh what you can only truly do by the Spirit of God. Amen? We see legalism in the church sometimes. So there's legalism, there's carnality. But when we walk in love and when we follow the Spirit's prompting, we'll avoid the extreme of legalism on that side, and we'll avoid the extreme of carnality on this side. Amen? Does that help you? Praise God. So we talked about last week, there's some things that we covered, and I won't I'm just going to mention them barely here. The first thing we talked about last week, it seems like my volume dropped out here, Mike. I don't know. Are we good? The first thing that we talked about is we're born of the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. Amen? John 3, Jesus talked about that. He said, when we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. He said, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. So number one, we're born of the Spirit. That's how we get into this, getting born again. Amen? We are born of the Spirit. And then number two, we talked about this last week, we are to be filled with the Spirit, right? We're born of the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Several scriptures we looked at last week about that. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's not enough just to be born of the Spirit. If we're going to truly live this, that'll get you into heaven. But how many of you want to do more than just kind of hang on, survive, stumble along, and then get to heaven? God doesn't want us just to kind of stumble along, hang on, and then get to heaven one day. He wants us to live victoriously. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to lead others to Him. Amen. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to do that successfully. So we're to be filled with the Spirit. And then number three, we are to pray in the Spirit. Amen. That includes praying in other tongues. We talked about that at length last week. So we're to be born of the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. And we are to pray in the Spirit. And then number four, new territory now. That was all from last week, but today. Number four, we are called to worship in the Spirit. We're called to worship in the Spirit. Jesus had an encounter with the woman at the well in Samaria. You remember that? He comes to the well in Samaria, and the disciples going into town to buy food. The woman comes to draw water, and Jesus strikes up a conversation with her, and he says, you know, I can give you living water. She said, well, you'll never thirst again. She said, well, that'd be nice if I wouldn't have to come out here, you know, every day and draw this water, if you can give me something where I wouldn't have to do that. And of course, he was talking about spiritually. And as he gets into the conversation with her, in John chapter 4, verse 21, because he had told her, he said, well, go and call your husband and tell him to come. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, well, yeah, that's right. You've answered rightly. Yeah, the fact is, you've had five. And you are with a guy right now, but y'all didn't bother to get married. The man you're with is not your husband. In that, you've spoken correctly. She tried to change the subject right away. It was getting a little bit too uncomfortable. And come on, y'all, or go. All right. She tried to change the subject. She said, you know, our fathers worship in this mountain. You Jews say that Jerusalem's place you ought to worship. Where should we worship? Jesus was digging down and getting into her heart. And she said, let's change the subject here. Where are we supposed to worship? Here on this mountain, this is where we worship. You Jews worship in Jerusalem. Where's the correct place? And so here's what Jesus answered her in verse 21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. So they were just totally ignorant in their worship. And he said, we, speaking of the Jews, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He said, we're at least on the right track down in Jerusalem. We're at least worshiping the true God down in Jerusalem. But he said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, it's not going to be your geographical location. It's not going to be something outward. But the true worshipers will worship the Father. How?
In spirit.
In spirit. In spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He's seeking for people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we're the very ones that are qualified to do this because we've been born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and now we can worship in the Spirit. Anyone that's been born of the Spirit should now be worshiping in the Spirit. Amen. God is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Everything that they were doing in the Old Testament worship, it was just an outward thing to try to point them and connect them with God who is a spirit. And now you and I have been born again. Our spirit has been made alive. And so now we can contact God spirit to spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So that hour came. He said the hour is coming and now is. And that hour came with the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the ushering in of this new covenant. We're born of the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. And now we can worship in the Spirit. Here's what Paul wrote to the Philippians. Again, the Philippians were, this was a Gentile church. These were not Jews. And again, they were being set upon by the folks that were saying, you know, you need to get circumcised and you need to follow the law. And Paul says, no, no. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. We're the truth. When he said the circumcision there, that was a phrase that meant the people that are really walking with God and really the true people of God and the true servants of God. But he said, no, no, the ones who are the true circumcision, we are the circumcision who worship God. How? In the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. The King James there says, glory in Christ Jesus. What does that mean to rejoice in Christ Jesus? That means we base everything, all of our experience with God, not on what we can do, but on what Jesus did for us. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all based on what Jesus did for us. Now, again, that's not, don't take, again, people can take that out of balance and say, well, since Jesus did everything for me, then I can go over here and live like the devil and it's all right. No, no. If he really did that for you, then you're not going to go do that. If you've really been born again, if he really made you righteous, which he did, amen, then you're going to live and walk righteously. But we rejoice in what Jesus did. Hallelujah. We remember what Jesus did. We put our confidence in what Jesus did. Jesus shed his blood for me. Jesus made it possible for me to come into the presence of God. I'm not going to come into the presence of God saying, Father, you know I ought to be here because I've been fasting and because I've been praying and because I've been a real good boy this week. No, I come into the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. Because of what Jesus... We have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, it says. Amen. Hallelujah. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and what Jesus has done. And we have no confidence in the flesh. We don't bring that to God and say, because I've done this and this and this. No, we come on the basis of what Jesus did. And we worship Him in the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. And we worship God. We're the true circumcision, the true circumcised ones. The ones who worship God in the Spirit, not by outward observances or ceremonies. Amen? Amen? In the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians 5, Paul writes this in verse 18. He says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. See, this life in the Spirit is progressive. You got to get born of the Spirit first to get into it. And then after you're born of the Spirit, then you're filled with the Spirit. You begin to pray in the Spirit and then worship in the Spirit. He says, so he commands them in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, this is what your worship will be like. This is true New Testament worship. This is true worship in the Spirit. What he begins to talk about here in the next verse, in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's true New Testament worship out of your spirit. Amen? Speaking to one another, or speaking to yourselves in psalms, or to one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So spirit-filled believers should be worshiping in the Spirit. Amen? That's been our problem a lot of times. You know, sometimes we try to, you know, like we were, almost like we were doing this morning, we try to encourage folks to worship. Come on, worship God, praise God, lift your hand, let Him hear from you. Well, the problem is we don't stay full of the Spirit. Hello? Because Spirit-filled people worship God. Amen. Spirit-filled people worship. Amen. Amen. If you're full of the Spirit of God, then you're going to be worshiping God. Amen. Now again, we need refillings. Say, well, Pastor, I got filled, you know, 7 years ago. You laid hands on me. I spoke in tongues. That's great. That's wonderful. And that's the start. But we got to stay filled. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're to worship in the Spirit. Now, of course, you know, we're talking about what worship is and can, you know, there's the broad or the narrow definition of worship. Can you worship God in your daily work? Absolutely. We're to give glory to God. You know, can art be worship? Yeah, you know, certainly it can in the broad sense. But true New Testament worship that every believer can do is described right here, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's true worship. God is looking for that. Amen. That spirit-to-spirit worship that He's looking for. Amen. And that we all ought to be engaged in. Amen. And involved in as Spirit-led, Spirit-filled believers. Amen. That brings me to the next point, number 5. We are to be led by the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. We're to worship in the Spirit. And we are to be led by the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The sons of God, the children of God, are to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. In verse 16, it says this, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. That's how that leading comes. The Spirit, it's not a voice. It's a witness in our spirit. The Spirit Himself bears witness. We call this, Dad Hagen in his teaching on being led by the Spirit, defined this as the inward witness. In fact, Jesus, when one of the times that Jesus appeared to him and taught him about being led by the Holy Spirit, he said, the number one way that I lead my children is by the inward witness. In the New Testament, the church, believers are not to be led by prophets. Are there to be prophets in the New Testament? Absolutely. There's a valid ministry of the prophet in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, people had to go to the prophet to find out what to do. They had to go to the prophet and they say, well, should we do this or that? And the prophet would have, why? Because they, in the Old Testament, they still had that heart of stone. They didn't have the Spirit of God living in them. That hadn't happened yet. But now it's happened for us. And every New Testament, New Covenant believer, we are to be led by the Spirit of God. That means the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit. Can God communicate to us through a word of prophecy, through a vision? Sure, He can do those things. But the number one way, the primary way that He's going to lead all of us, all of His children, is by that inward witness, an inward knowing, an inward prompting. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Most Christians are led, we're led by our reasoning. Well, I think I should do this or that, and I'm going to see what so-and-so thinks about. And it's not wrong to get advice from people. That's all right. But we too many times we're led by our reasoning. We're led by our feelings. We're led by circumstances that are happening. Well, since this happened, then I think I should do this or... Well, you should do what the Spirit of God is leading you to do on the inside. Amen? We're not to be led. We're to have, thank God for feelings. You know, we're not to be robots. You know, we're to have feelings and emotions, but we're not to be led by our emotions. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. We're to be led by that inward prompting, the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit. It doesn't say He'll bear witness with our mind. It doesn't say He'll bear witness with our body, our flesh. It says He'll bear witness with our spirit. Amen. And one of the and again, going back to what we talked about last week, one of the best ways and most important ways to develop, and you say, well, I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with me or not. Well, see, again, when you pray in tongues, the Bible says when we're praying in other tongues that the Holy Spirit is giving us the utterance, right? Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so when we're praying in tongues, we are working with the Holy Spirit. He's given the utterance, we're doing the speaking. He's given the utterance, we're doing the speaking. So the more that you train your spirit by praying in tongues, the more clearly you're going to discern and recognize the inward witness, the prompting of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right. So we're to be led. There's a lot we could say about that, being led by the Spirit, but we are. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Holy. He wants to lead us in every area of our life. Amen. Hallelujah. What a privilege that is. To have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to lead us in every situation. And so much of the time we ignore that or we don't tap into that. But again, the whole thing of this is yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to His prompting. That's how we're to live. That's how we're to live the Christian life, yielding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And then number six, we're called to walk in the Spirit. We're called to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, read, come on back up if you would, begin to play. Galatians 5, verse 16, I say then, walk. Verse, go back to 16 for a second. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Do what? Walk in the Spirit. So we're to be born of the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. We're to worship in the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. And we are to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now again, a lot of times we put that backwards and say, well, if I just not walk in the lust of the flesh, then I can walk in the Spirit. No, that's backwards. Start walking in the Spirit. Start following the Spirit's prompting. Start yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to His prompting. And whenever we do that, I promise you, if you will yield to the Holy Spirit's prompting in every situation, in a particular situation, any situation, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh in that situation. If you'll follow the Spirit's prompting. Amen. If you're tempted to sin, if you're tempted to yield to your flesh, get into anger, get into lust, whatever it may be, if you're tempted to do that, the Holy Spirit is in there prompting you to go another way. Amen. And if we'll follow that prompting, we'll never yield to the flesh. Amen. Amen. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, verse 17 now, mate. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Amen. Doesn't mean that you can just go and live anyway. Oh, I'm led by the Spirit. That means I don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. No, that does not. It's not what that means. If you're led by the Spirit, then you don't have to say, okay, I'm not supposed to do this and I am supposed to do that. If you're led by the Spirit, it's coming from the inside of you what to do. Amen? Praise God. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, and he goes on and lists in the next verses or two all the works of the flesh, and we know what they are. Paul says they're evident. All right. Verse 22, let's skip down to that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What does that mean? The fruit of the Spirit. That means the result of yielding to and following the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. Hallelujah. When we yield to that prompting of the Holy Spirit in our spirit, he said the fruit of that, the fruit of the Spirit is what? What's the first fruit?
Love.
First fruit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Then joy. Then peace. Then long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such, there's no law. And those who are Christ, if you belong to Christ, you've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is not some weird, mystical thing where, you know, this person's kind of walking around like in a trance or something, saying, oh, you know, stand back. I'm walking in the Spirit. No. Walking in the Spirit simply means to walk in love. If I'm following after love, I'm walking in the Spirit. If I'm following after joy, then I'm walking in the Spirit. If I'm following after peace, then I'm walking in the Spirit. If I'm following after long-suffering or being patient, then I'm walking in the Spirit. If I'm following after kindness and I'm dealing with people in kindness, and you know, it's easy to be kind to folks that are kind to you, but true kindness kicks in when you respond kindly to those who are unkind or rude to you. Amen? That's when you really need to exercise kindness. And goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. When I'm yielding to all these things, and that's it, that's the way it works. See, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, that's what we'll be yielding to. When we follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we'll be yielding to love. We'll be yielding to joy. We'll be yielding to goodness and gentleness, all these things. Amen? Hallelujah. And then finally, number seven in this is we should desire and we should expect the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I'd rather have the fruit of the Spirit than the gifts of the Spirit. Well, I'd rather have both. You know, well, that's like saying, well, I'd rather have a car than a house. You know, it's all right for you to have both. It's all right to have a car and a house. Amen. Glory to God. You don't have to choose one or the other. He says, pursue love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And desire spiritual gifts. We're to have the fruit of the Spirit, but we're also to have the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? And then in 1 Corinthians 12:31, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he exhorts the entire church to do this. He's not just writing to the pastor. He's not just writing to the prophet. He's writing to the whole church at Corinth, and he says, earnestly desire. He says, desire spiritual gifts. And he says, earnestly desire the best gifts. So the whole church, turn to your neighbor and say, that would be us. Amen. The whole church is to desire spiritual gifts. Say, Pastor, why don't we see more of the gifts of the Spirit in operation? Well, here's our answer. We have to desire them. We have to desire them. Amen? Praise God. All right? And so he tells us we're to desire these things. All right? So in 1 Corinthians 12:1, when he first starts talking about spiritual gifts, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And so, you know, you can't desire something if you're ignorant of it, can you? That's the whole wonder of advertising. You didn't know you even needed that thing until you saw it advertised on TV. Or you saw the billboard. Or you saw that ad in Facebook. Or you heard about it on the radio, and now you can't do without it. 5 minutes before, you didn't even know it existed, and you had no idea you needed it. That's the power of advertising, right? Well, I want to advertise for God right now. I want to advertise for the Spirit of God right now. And I want to tell you, hallelujah, I want to tell you about in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom. Oh, thank God for the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith, or the gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. This is some advertising. These are the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The word of knowledge. The word of wisdom. The discerning of spirits. The gift of faith. Gifts of healings. The working of miracles. Tongues, the interpretation of tongues and prophecy, and the church ought to be filled with it. Not just our church, but the body of Christ. But most Christians are in the place of where Paul talked about back in verse number 1. Now we're going up and down for some reason, Mike. You're going to probably have to monitor that. But the church is in the place, most of the church, where Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12:1. He says, don't be ignorant. Most of the church is totally ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? But thank God, now that we know about them, now that we've enumerated them, let's desire them. Let's expect them. And again, going back to tongues and how important praying in tongues is. Howard Carter, who was a pioneer in the Pentecostal movement after the days of Azusa Street. Howard Carter said that praying in other tongues is the doorway into the rest of the gifts of the Spirit. The doorway into the supernatural. Amen. So let's desire them. You got your paper that was in your bulletin? Everybody got that? Pull this out right here. There's a little card in your bulletin. Now again, if you've got your old one, this is going to read a little bit different. I reworded it so it's easier to pray. And it flows better when we pray it. Hallelujah. So let's desire collectively, and not just this morning, but I want to ask you if you would keep this in your Bible. And hopefully you open your Bible up every day. Now if you never open up your Bible, then put it somewhere where you'll see it every day. Better yet, start opening up your Bible every day and reading it. Amen. And pull this out. It'll take you just a few seconds. It'll take you a few seconds. But daily say this to the Lord. Praise God. So let's say it together right now. You with me? Let's say this together. Lord, your word says in 1 Corinthians 12:31 and 14:1, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So we say that we desire tongues, the interpretation of tongues, prophecy, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. Lord, these manifestations of your Holy Spirit are for us today. You haven't taken them out of the church. They belong to us, and we ought to have them in manifestation. We pray, Lord, that they will be in manifestation in our midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's live in the Spirit. Amen? Let's live in the Spirit. Praise God. That's the way God designed this Christian life to be lived, is in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen? Let's pursue it. Let's go after all of these things. Amen? Let's be born of the Spirit. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray in the Spirit. Let's worship in the Spirit. Let's be led by the Spirit. And let's desire the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Let's walk in the Spirit. And let's desire the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment here.